I don't feel very preachy, but I do have a message. I don't know how they're supposed to feel preachy, but I need your prayers. We're thankful to be able to be in Guthrie one more time. Lord, blessings to us. Glad to see everyone. See some we've seen for a long time. But I noticed as I've been looking over the congregation last night and this morning that seemed like there's a lot of old folks that not used to be around here and not here anymore. And that ought to tell us something. We were driving along yesterday, coming along by ourselves, and talking to the Lord and needing the Lord to help us. And it just came to me, why am I going out here? Why am I driving along here 1,200 miles by myself to go all the way out here? Why am I doing that? I mean, there's a lot of places you could go. A lot of things at home need attention. And a lot of things I could be doing. So why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? Why do we do what we do? Why do we do what we do? I have a message the Lord has given me. And I've been preaching along that line. It's a burden. It's a burden. And we've been calling it different things. But we are living in a transition period of time. Our nation is, we're living in a transition time. Everything's changing. It's been coming on for a number of years now. We can see changes taking place in our world, in our nation. Now we can see a moral decay. We can see a downgrading. A falling away, as the Bible calls it. Falling away. We can see the morals of our world are getting lower and lower all the time. And we see sin becoming exceedingly sinful. And we see the things that our nation was found on and what the Lord stands for and what we have stood for down through the ages of time. We see a transition taking place. I've seen it coming for a long time. And it comes in such a sly way. And it kind of slips up on you before you realize it, hardly. Our nation has fallen to the very plagmars, or Edward used to say, plagmars of sin. The sins of our nation, the transgressions against God, the leaving God out, crowding him out. We've seen the fall and the breaking down of these, our school system. We saw that when they took God out. They're doing everything in the world trying to figure out what's the matter with their schools. And all they have to do is look at the statistics and they can see where it started. All started back in 1962 when they took the Lord out of that thing. We can see a great fall away in that category. Then we've seen God being crowded out of our government, out of our government. No time for God. No time for God. And we saw the Lord. We've seen abortion come along. 1.5 million babies killing every year, something like that. Murder, justified. We see our nation. Many of our states now are depending on lotteries to try to pay their bills with. Gambling. That's gambling. Lottery is gambling. Saints don't play the lottery. And we've seen all that taking place. And we've seen it continually, morally, going down. And then we've seen it's coming right on up to where we live. And we've always, when something is taking place in the world, then the church feels the pressure of that. The church feels the pressure of it. It has a way of coming against the people of God. And it has a way of working its way right in to our congregation sometimes. We're affected by the things that go on around about us. Yes, we are. And so now we're living in a transition period. And we got a new president coming on. And of all of his speeches and all of his things that I heard, never mentioned God one time. I never heard him mention God one time. Never said that the Lord will do that. Or by your prayers, by your help. Never heard him say that one time. And I was not really surprised, but the statistics are brought out that a lot of the older people, I wondered how far our nation had gone. I wondered how far our nation had gone. And then I seen this election come along. And I seen what people are choosing. They really didn't want to, a lot of people didn't want to vote for either one, I guess. But they made their choice. One of them stood for pretty good morals anyway, some decency and some standards and things like that. And the other stood for what people felt like, I don't know how it'll turn out, prosperity. More, wanting more material things, wanting more jobs and more better jobs and more of this and more of that. And so the majority of our people, I didn't know it'd come. I wondered when it was going to break over. I wondered when it was going to really break over. The morals of our country, when it was going to really break over. I'm not saying this to discourage anybody, but I just want trying to lay a foundation for some thoughts here. That I wondered when it would just break over and turn and just give over to the flesh. Well, it made a choice. The people made their choice. And they chose a man because he promised them prosperity. He promised them better jobs. He promised to restore the economy and all those kind of things. Whether he can do it, I don't know. Between him and be the help of the Lord. But the people, they chose that. They rolled over the morals and the thing, and they chose a better economy, more material things, better jobs, more money, higher standard of living. They chose that over morals and chose a man that believes it's all right to kill babies. If you're a politician, bear with me. But chose a man that believes it's all right to murder children, babies. I consider that just murder. abortion. And he chose a man that if you want to be a homosexual, you can be one. That's your right. And they're going to have those people, homosexual, lesbian, they're going to be marching in the parade for his inauguration. Well, now two people impersonating Elvis Presley. Elvis Presley, his favorite singer, I guess. But that's what's happened. That's what has happened. And our nation has finally chose the things of the material things over the moral things. Over the moral things. And you can expect it to get worse and worse. You can expect that. We're facing things that we haven't faced before. And things that we've been used to just having and doing, I suspect they'll be changing in the days and years to come. And I say all of this to say this, that you and I are in a transition period too. The church is going through a transition period right now. I see, and this is my burden. This is my burden. And this is what I want to try and allow the Lord to use us to try to help us through this transition period. We see the older ones going away. And pretty soon I'll be going away too. And we see the younger ones coming on. And I'm glad for that. And we see a transition taking place. And oh, it's going to be you and I. And you and I as the church and as the people. We're going to have something another beyond the normal, beyond the natural, to be able to stand against the things that we're going to face right here in this world. The younger generation are going to face things that I didn't face. They're going to have to face things. They're going to have to make choices along. You're going to have to make some choices about your children. We got a woman, president's wife, is a very, very advocate on this school program or preschool thing. She'll be wanting your children to go to school when they're 3 years old. Get them out of the home as quick as you can. Get them away from father and mother as soon as they can. We'll be faced with things like this. And so we need something another, not something, but we need something to be enable us to face those things that we're going to face. And trying to come up with condense it down to a thought maybe. But I thought of one scripture. And Paul says that the love of God constraineth me. We need something to constrain us. We're going to need that as we go along. You need it, and I need it, and we're going to need it more as we go along. The love of God constraineth me. I need something in my heart. I need a relationship with God. I need an experience that's something that constraining me. Something another that's controlling me. Something that's working inside of me. To be able to stand and face. One message I preached recently was, hold that which we have. Hold that which we have, the Bible said. Another thought was contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. So this is what, in order to be able to contend and stand for what you and I have been taught and what the Bible teaches, what the forefathers have passed down to us, we're going to have something on the inside that's constraining us. We're going to have something working in our heart, something that will enable us to stand against all the wiles of the devil. The word constrained. I like that because it tries to bring my thought out here. The word constrained is mean a great force. A great force. Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth me. In other words, there's a great force working in my life. There's something in my heart. There's something in my inner being that's enabled me to stand up for what I believe and what I've been taught and what's been passed down to me. Young folks and middle-aged folks this morning, you're going to need this love that constrains you. You're going to have something, the love of God in your heart, that I'll die for it. I'll die for it. You gotta love God so much. You gotta love the church so much. You gotta love His cause so much. You gotta love His people so much that I'll die for it. I'll die for it. That's the only way you're going to be able to stand against the times that you're going to face. The times you're going to meet, you're not going to be able to meet them. You're going to fall right into the very spirit of the world, of compromise and of just giving into the flesh and just doing whatever feels good and just taking the easy way out and taking the shortcuts, you might say. But in order for you to keep carrying on, this is the burden we have. In order for you to keep carrying on, you're going to have a force working inside of you. A force. The love of Christ constraineth me. This word constraineth is a great force. A great force. A power that works in our soul. A something another that gives us some power in our life to say no. To say no to the devil. To say no to the style, the fads, the ways of the world. To stand right out in a crooked and perverse nation of sin and wickedness and lewdness and nakedness and ungodliness and broken homes and divorces and separations and evil and wickedness on every hand. They're going to take a great force in our soul to be able to stand right out there and be one of them. Be one of them that will stand. The Lord help us. Pray for us this morning. A great force. I'm carrying this message where I go. The Lord said, I want you to take this and carry it where you go. I'm putting a little different heading on it sometimes, but it's coming out the same. I believe this is from God because we're not living in the world that we lived in 30 years ago. We're not living in the world we lived in 50 years ago. You're going to face things that we haven't faced. You're going to need something in your life to be able to face the things that you're going to face. This word constraineth means a great force, a repression of natural feelings. A repression of natural feelings. Put on the whole armor of God. But we're going to have something that will enable us to ride over. I hear people say, well, I feel like this. I feel like this is all right. I don't see nothing wrong with that. I feel it'll be all right. We're going to have something, a power, a force that works in us to repress those feelings and ride over our feelings and stand for truth and stand for right regardless of how I feel. Regardless of how I think, regardless of what folks say, regardless of what people think, I'm going to have something that will repress those feelings. Oh, we're so prone to try to operate on our feelings. And this is the world we live in now. Freedom of just whatever you choose to do. Wear whatever you want to wear. Go wherever you want to go. Go out down there at the mall a couple days ago, and I tell you, people wear the awfulest looking things. That's the way the world is. They wear the awfulest looking things. Well, it's going to mean something for me and for you to continue right on, dressing just like the saints supposed to dress. Still dressing in our modest apparel, still dressing in our plain clothes, still covering our nakedness, and still standing by those things that we've been taught down through the years, regardless of what the changes take place in the world, regardless of the standards of the world, regardless of the morals of the world, regardless of what becomes just normal in the world. You and I are going to mean something another for us to just stay right where we've always stayed. Right where we've always stayed. We're living in a transition period. And this thing is passing on to you middle-aged, younger folks. It's passing on to you now. And we have some things that we want to pass on to you that you don't let get away from you. That you don't allow. The trend of the time, the troubles in the world, the ways of the world, the things that's happening in the world. We want to be able to pass something along that'll be able to hold right to it as time goes on. The word of the Lord will never change. It's the only thing I know of that don't change. Repression of natural feelings or behavior. Behavior. The love of God, Christ constraineth me, Paul said. It causes me to behave myself right under pressure, right around evil, right around wickedness, right around where the morals and the standard is so low. Still constrains me to behave myself. It still constrains me to have a Christian attitude. It still constrains me to walk humbly before my God. It still, oh, may the Lord help us. I'm thinking about being referring to what's been passed down to us. What the older Bible speaks of. Women in the old times, dressed in modest apparel and so forth. But I'm thinking about what we've stood for. And what those older people stood for. And I know we're not living in the past, but I got a new thought on this. Not a new, but a different thought. I've been reminiscing over when I first got saved 35 years ago and come among the saints. What I've seen. I've seen something another that I don't want to ever lose. I've seen something another that I don't want to see you ever lose. And I've seen a people that was a careful people. Paul said, oh, what carefulness it wrought in me. I've seen a people that walk carefully before God. And I got to thinking, do you reckon why they did that? Did they do that because that they was trying to be more spiritual or more like God? Is that why they did that? No, I'm believing that why I made people act like they did is because of something they had in their heart that constrained them to do that thing. They were careful. Careful people. We're living in a loose age. We're living in a careless time. So people so careless. But oh, repressing our feelings and our behavior. Sincerity. Now we don't want to lose this carefulness. Carefulness. It's a time that we need to be careful. We need something in our heart that causes us to be alert. Alert. Be able to see things. The Bible said, didn't he say over there, he that is spiritual judges all things, or discerneth all things. He that is spiritual discerneth. We need that experience and that relationship with God, that spiritual walk with the Lord that will help us to detect things before we fall into them. To be able to see what's happening around about me. Being able to discern all things. And what was it Solomon prayed for? Of all the things he might ask for, that he said that he might be able to know how to discern that which is right and which is wrong. If there ever was a time that we need this, it must be now. To be able to discern between what is right and what is wrong. So many things in the world is looked on as just being all right. It's all right. It's all right. If you want to live that way, that's all right. Just the world we're living in now, our political system, our leader, is you just live the way you want to live. You know that's a spirit can get a hold of me and you if we're not careful. I got my own standard. I got my own standards. Oh, it's a dangerous thing to set up a standard for myself. And this is as far as I'm going right here. This is good enough. I don't care what you say. I don't care what they preach. I don't care what they've taught in the past. This is my standard right here. This is my standard. That's the spirit of the world. That's the spirit of the world. And we need to have an open heart all the time to be able to receive more instructions and receive more light, receive more help from God. We'll never be able to get to the place where we won't be learning something or another. I get concerned. What did Jesus say over there? They say we have need of nothing. We don't have need of nothing. That's a dangerous place to be in today. To ever allow myself to get settled somewhere or another and say, I'm saved and I'm all right and I'm getting by fine. That's a dangerous place to get in. I don't have need of anything. I'm just settled down there in the truth and I'm going to live the way I feel like living and I'm just going to do that. That's a wrong attitude. But that's the world. See, what I'm trying to say is these things that's going on in the world, they have a tendency to come around our way. And this is the condition in the world today. If you want to have an abortion, you go ahead and have an abortion. That's your privilege. It's your body. It's your body. And this is what these women and feminists are hollering out. It's my body and I can do with it what I want to. Well, what about that other life that's involved? But it's the spirit of the thing that I'm thinking about this morning. A spirit of independence. I can get along without you. I don't need you. That's a dangerous thought. No man liveth to himself and no man dieth to himself. We need each other, brethren. We need each other, brother. I can't pull myself off somewhere or another and set me up a little corner and set me up a little establishment and this is where I'm going to live. You can't do that, please God. This thing is set up together. We're going to have to work together. We're going to have to get along together if we're going to go to heaven together. The world don't see it that way. They can do whatever they want to. They can do what they feel like doing. And don't bother me. Don't bother. I've got my little comfortable place here. And don't interfere with me. Don't take nothing away. Oh, yeah. They want to pay off a national debt, but don't take it away from me, you know. Take it away from somebody else. Well, that same spirit can work in our midst and in our lives. Don't bother me. I'm settled right here and I've got it all fixed, and I'm getting by pretty good. May the Lord help us this morning. Carefulness. Carefulness. I remember some of the things that I seen when I came along. The carefulness that they had. Not a few words written down here. The sincerity. They was concerned. The concern that they had. The carefulness that it wrought in them. How they conducted themselves. I noticed how quickly they was to humble themselves and ask forgiveness. Oh, these are the things that we don't want to lose. We don't want to lose. These are the things that we want to hold on to. And I've brought these thoughts out before. But oh, if we lose these things, we've lost the very foundation of what God stands for and what the church has always stood for, is a careful life, a walking carefully with God, keeping ourselves unspotted from the world, walking humbly with my God. Oh, the love of Christ constrains me. Sincerity. Oh, and we mentioned the dress question. And some people don't like to hear about that. And they say that don't mean a whole lot. But it means an awful lot. Disobedience gets in there. Pride gets involved in that. Self-will gets involved in that. And you and I want to hold right to it. I had at home a few nights ago a little lesson along these lines. And Tony was bringing out in his Bible study that one thing about those folks that's had this standard of modesty, of dressing modest, of plainness, of fixing their hair in a plain way, wearing their sleeves modestly, their dresses were plain, their lives were simple. One thing I remember, they had power with God. They had power with God. Sister was praying in her prayer that we need more of God. We need more power in our midst. We need more power. We just, well, to be honest about it, we need more power. We need more conviction. We need more of the glory of God. We need it more. We need it. And we read about bringing out in our Sunday school when people were filled with the Holy Ghost. People knew about it. The glory of the Lord came down. When the old temple was filled back there, the glory of God shined. We could use some of that. You know what produced it? You know what made those folks back there so careful, so sincere, so dedicated, so watchful? It's because of something they had inside. It was something they had in their hearts. It wasn't because they were just going through some kind of a form, some kind of a ritual or following somebody's teaching. No, there was something in their heart that caused them to be careful. It was something in their innermost soul that caused them to be humble. I heard a tape some time ago about one of these fellows in Newark High there. They had a split there, and one of them teaches two works and the other don't teach two works. But this one man, one preacher said, he said, well, he said, I have preached two definite works of grace for years. And he said, I don't find any fault with those who teach it. But he said, I just never could get to experience. And I know he was referring to us folks. But he said there is a people that are strong on this teaching of two definite works of grace. And he said, I don't find any fault with that at all. He said, I believe those people are real, and they believe it, and they're true. And what they're trying to do is, endeavoring to do, is to have more power in their life, have more of the grace of God in their life. Well, I thought, well, at least he got that much right anyway. That's why we want those things. It ain't because that, like I said, that this teaching of holiness and plainness and simplicity. Oh, the word simplicity. We don't want to let that word get away from us at all. We must stay simple, and I don't mean unlearned, but I mean in our standards of living, in our standards of conversation, in our ways about us. Simple. And the word that we've been wearing out, so to speak, for a long time is being very sensitive, very sensitive. I told this time or two, I remember Brother Murphy Allen, how sensitive that he was, how alert that he was. He'd see things. One time I was at Monarch, and I had a pair of pants that I wore a lot. They were comfortable, and I'm the kind of fella, if I find something real comfortable, I'll just wear it out. But I'd wore these old pants and wore them and wore them, and I never thought nothing about them at all. And Brother Murphy came up to me one day on the campground. He said, Brother Sam, he said, I've been noticing. He said, the seat of those pants you're wearing is awful thin. You know, now most people today wouldn't even have thought about that. But he recognized something there. I didn't feel bad about it. I appreciate it. But that's what I'm talking about. Very sensitive. You can expect your grace to increase and increase and increase. You can be just as spiritual now as you ever could be spiritual. You can be just how the power, that same power that Paul had, he still had that constraining. Something in there that constrained him. What was it Ezekiel said? I'll give you a new heart. I'll take out the old stony heart. I'll put in a heart of flesh. And he said, I'll give you another spirit. I'll put my spirit within you, and it'll cause you to keep my statutes. We need something in our hearts that's working, causing me to be careful, causing me to watch my words. Amen. Causing me to weigh out what I'm saying. The stories that I'm passing on. Lord, help us. I need the power of God, the love of God constraining me. Keeping me in check. A great force working in my soul. Causing me to walk carefully before my God. Causing me to watch my conversation. Causing me to watch my appearance. See how I dress. See how I look. I lived with a careful woman for 41 years. A very conscientious woman. I remember when she had her weight problem. She'd go up and down, lose weight and gain weight. And she, when she felt like she'd gained some weight, she felt like her dresses were pulling up a little bit, she'd walk before me. She said, is this look all right? Is this too short? You know, our mind's occupied on more things than that now. That don't mean anything. Oh, yes, it does mean something now. When you lose those things, you're going to find yourself going through a form. When you lose that real carefulness, that real sincerity, that real sensitivity, when you lose those things, you're going to find yourself going to church on Sunday morning and can't wait till the preacher sets down to get back home. You're going to find yourself going to prayer meeting if you feel like it, and if you don't, you don't. See, when you've got this thing working in your heart, then you're very sensitive about missing prayer meeting. I told somebody, down in Louisiana, I guess I was down there. Quite a folks wasn't in service. I don't know why it was. I said, I hope they feel real bad about missing me. Somebody came and said it didn't feel very good, but Brother Salmon said he wanted us to feel bad if we didn't come. So, no, what I meant was, God wants you and I to be so sensitive about the things of God that it'll hurt us to miss prayer meeting. I feel bad about it. Now, if I'm sick or something I'm tucked up with, well, that's a different thing. But just to, what did he say? Something to repress my feelings and my behavior. I feel bad about it. I want to be, I thank God every time he condemns me. Every time I speak a word out of season. Every time I tendency to sometimes tell a little something maybe a little bit bigger than it was. Amen. I want to live in that place where the Spirit of the Lord will strike me. You know when you said something you shouldn't say. You know the Bible does say something about searing our conscience, so doesn't it? Do you know when you lose this part of the thing, which I consider the main part, when you lose this, then you get to the place to where you can put this off. You can do this and not feel bad about it. You can say this and not feel condemned. You can talk about somebody and don't feel like you need to go straighten it up. You can cast somebody's name out as evil. You can slander and tell stories that are not true many times and not feel bad about it. I have need of nothing. That's a dangerous place to live. See, this is the world we live in. That's the way the world's living. Let me alone. Don't bother me. I want to just make all the money I can. I want the biggest house I can get. I want the nicest car I can get a hold of. I want me a boat. I want me a trailer. I want to live plenty of money to go on vacation. I want to live high up on the thing. That's what the world is seeking after. It'll affect you and I if we don't care. We're living in a materialistic-minded age. And like I said in the beginning, our nation has chosen that over morals. They've chosen prosperity over morals. They made their choice. They had to make a definite choice. And they chose to take immorality, take prosperity over immorality. And you and I will have those places where we come to. And we'll have to choose. Am I going this way? Am I going to still stand like I've been taught? Am I still willing to love the truth and love Jesus, love God, love his people, love his cause, love him, and such that it's constrained me to offer my life as a sacrifice to God, and by the grace and by the power and by the help of God and that Spirit of God working in my soul, I mean to go right on until the crown is won. I mean to fight the fight of faith till life on earth is done. I'll never more turn back. But to stand for the truth. Things that we've been taught, things that the Bible teaches, I hope everything we've been taught has been the Bible. But we're being challenged on them. Society. The world is challenging us, folks. What you and I stand for this morning is so far out compared and considered, the world considers that so far out that they've lost sight that there is even a people in the world like you and I. The general public, the general run of people, the general run of young people, the general run of middle-aged people in our nation that we live in today had lost complete sight of a standard of living like you and I teach and preach and endeavor to live. They've lost complete sight of that altogether. But it's going to mean for you and I to stand, continue to stand, right on. One of the greatest challenges we're having today. I heard Brother Ed Wilson say right here in this chapel some years back, 8-10 years ago, that he felt like the real test of the saints in the coming days was going to be their stand on divine healing. We see it coming to pass, don't we? We're being challenged. For being challenged. And the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world. It's so common. It's so available. It's so senseless. To trust God. To do without man's remedies. And man's medicine. And man doctor's ways. It's so silly. The world looks at it like that. But listen, if you and I throw that down, we've lost something other that keeps us real close to God. Real close to God. That trusting God, trust God or die. That creates that closeness to God. That creates a relationship between you and God, me and God, that I feel like nothing else can create. I'm depending on God. I'm depending on God. And God's depending on me. And I'm depending on God to heal my body. I'm depending on God to take care of this need that I have. But oh, it's so easy. I was asked a question some time ago. Is divine healing, is it really a part of the doctrine? Or is it something we can just choose to do or not to do? That question bothered me. I know what's in people's mind when they ask questions like that. They're really not convinced that they should trust the Lord. They're really not come to that place to where they're willing to die trusting God. Very sensitive about these things. So, who be willing consecrate his life to God? I'm going to say again, if the church, and I don't believe the church will do it, but as we as people ever come to that decision to where you trust the Lord if you want to or not, up to you, whatever you want to do. Well, in one sense, it is up to you. We have to give you that choice. But still, the standard of God's word and his teaching and his church is trust the Lord right here. That's the standard. To die for it. What we need to do is make that consecration. We need that love of God, Christ, that constrains us. We need that great force in us. I'll die before I bring a reproach on the cause of God. Amen. I'm going to die sometime anyway. I'd rather die with a clear conscience, wouldn't you? I'd rather die without a shadow hanging over my title. I don't want you to come by and say, I hope Brother Sam has made it. I don't want to die like that. Well, I don't want to die like that. So I'd rather die now. I'd rather die now. It ain't so bad to die. I'm looking forward to it. I'm just waiting. Not bad to die. I know we want to stay as long as we can. But when it comes time, it ain't bad. It oughtn't be bad. Perfect love casts out fear. And he was talking about death in that particular place there. But very sensitive about the cause of God. About the cause of God. I sit there. Maybe you've heard me tell this before. But I sat there a few days after Mom had left, which will be 2 years tomorrow. Sitting there a few days or a week or so afterward, and I was reading in a magazine. And they was talking about breast cancer. And they was talking how simple it was. They was encouraging the women folks to have mammogram, whatever it is, every so often. And if you find it soon enough, why, the greatest majority of the people, when they get at it soon enough, it's a simple operation. They just take that little old thing out, and if it hasn't turned cancerous yet, that's about all they are to it. And I'm sitting there reading this, and I'm looking over at an empty chair. I said, Lord, it seems so simple. It seems so simple. And then the Lord began to talk to my heart. Yeah, you've been preaching for 30 years. And you've been telling other people to trust God. Your children was raised that way. You taught your children that. You practiced that. The young people across the land, you taught them that. The church, the work of God, the cause of God. See, don't we care about that? Don't we care about that? And she'd already chose to do that way. She said, if God can get any glory out of me dying, I'm willing to die. I'm ready to die. If it'll cause somebody to be saved, if it'll help the congregation, the local congregation, I'm willing to die. Don't pray the Lord to keep me here. If the Lord wants to take me, I want to go. Then after those thoughts came to my mind, yes, Lord. As much as it hurt, I'm glad she trusted the Lord. I'm glad she trusted God. I loved her as much as a man can love a woman. But I loved God and His cause more than I loved her. I'm more concerned about you and the work of the Lord and God's cause and God's church and God's Bible and God's standard, God's teaching. Don't we have any feelings for that? Can we just be so selfish that we'll just take our own way, bring a reproach on the cause of God? Can't we deny ourselves? Can't we deny the flesh? Now we can see that we need a great force working inside, don't we? We need a great force working inside. To go home, throw the pills away. When I hear folks just bowing down to this, willingly, without any pressure. A lot of times we just, I know there's situations. Sometimes you're forced into something, and sometimes things can happen. But for me, just somebody asked me recently, do you believe it would be a sin for you to, for people to turn to the arm of flesh or take medicine? Do you believe it would be a sin? Well, I said, God gives to every man according to his ability. I said, I don't know about some folks, how much light they have, how much understanding what their situation is, but I said, for me just to voluntarily turn to the arm of flesh would be sin to me. It would be sin to me. I'd feel like I had backslid. We need to have this power in our life. We need the power. God asked Peter one time, he said, do you love these more than me? Do you love these? Do we love our own life more than we love God? Do we love the ways of the world more than we do? Are we considering more what people of the world think about us than what God thinks about us? We need a constraining power in our very life to be wed when the time comes, I'll die. And the way to do that is to go home, throw the pills away if you got any on hand. Lord, help us this way. Trust God. Trust God. You can't go wrong trusting God. Can't go wrong trusting God. No. If I got it right, according to the scripture, Jesus bore the stripes on his back for our healing. His blood is for the healing. Healing is available to us folks today. Healing is available to us folks today. Listen to me. Got a thought recently, heard it. Our faith. Jesus said to every time, according to your faith, so be it unto you. But I also got a thought of somewhere that without a complete commitment to God, we can't have that kind of faith. Unless I'm willing for God to have his way in my life, I can't have faith that I would have. If I'm believing, so many times we pray, Lord, I want it like this. Lord, do it this way. Lord, fix it that way. But all the time, and we have desires. We can make our requests known to God. But in the back of my mind and in my heart, we should say, Lord, thy will be done. Lord, I'd like for you to heal my old body if you would. I'd try to glorify you, Lord, if you'd heal me. If you'd let me stay praying for the young brother at home, he's only 40 years old, got two children. Lord, spare him till he can raise his family. There's nothing wrong with a request like that. But still, in the back of our hearts and our minds, we need to have an amen to God's will. Then that way our faith will mount up. And I can believe, I can have a perfect faith in God. I can pray and know and believe and have a real faith in God, knowing that it's going to work out good. It's going to come out right. God, I got it submitted to God. I got it consecrated to God. I got dedicated to God. Myself, my future, my life, my home, my all in all is given over in the hands of God. And whatever he does, it'll be right. And I can believe. Now, that's faith. That's real faith. That's real faith. You know, we talk about having more faith. You know how to get more faith? Get a deeper commitment to God. A deeper surrender to God. A deeper surrender to God's will in my life. That's going to cause my faith to mount up. I believe in God this morning. I believe that He loves me. And I've consecrated my life to Him. This man, this soul belongs to God. And He said this, your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God. You're not your own. I've given my body to the Lord. I've given my soul to the Lord. I've given my future to the Lord. I've given my plans to the Lord. I've given my hopes in the Lord. All I have is in the Lord. And I can have faith to believe that if I keep it there, God will take me to heaven someday. Holy saints. Holy saints. Very sensitive. And again, a little something that promoted this thought. Thought about, I've been using that thought about, we refer back to the older ones. And I'm reading there. I know we're living in a different age, but God hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. I still believe what worked for them back there will work for us. When our commitment is fully there and we're filled with the power of the Holy Ghost and we're constrained by the love we have for Jesus and for His cause and His purpose, and when that means more to me than life itself, when that means more to me than my ambitions and my desires and what I have in this world and what I want in this world and how much I want in this world and what more I want to get in this world, when God's purpose and God's cause and God's church and God's people and God Himself mean more to me than all of these, you're going to see more of the works of God. You'll see more of the glories of God. You'll see more of the powers of God working. You'll see more of the glory of God coming down and reviving our spirits and working in our midst. And there'll be some praises of God going out. And there'll be something burning in our soul that'll cause us to leave our seats once in a while and cause us to have a hearty amen once in a while. That's true, brother. I love it. I'm giving my life for it. I'm dead to it. It's all in all to me. It's all of my life. My hope is in that. My future's in that. My life in that. Eternity all involved in that. Heaven is all included in this. And it means more to me than all other things in this world. A great force. Now y'all know that I always preach about being filled with the Holy Ghost sometime or another. That's where we're going to get to. That love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We need that thing, that Holy Ghost power that constrains us. I don't do it because I have to. I do it because I want to. I don't dress like this because the saints taught this. You know, we hear that sometimes. Well, that's a good purpose in a sense. Well, this is what the saints teach. Well, we should have that much respect for the saints, what they teach. But we need a little something more than that. This is what God teaches. This is what God's Word says. This is why I do what I do, because the Word says that. And I'm convinced that His Word is true. I know it's right. And it's so real, it's so true, that I've given my life to it. And that divine love, that force, that great force that constrains me and causes me to walk careful before my God. That causes me to watch my conduct and my behavior. That causes me to deny myself. When it comes between the choice of going to the church or going somewhere else, I always go to church. Unless it's something special or something needy or something. when it comes to the choice of going to prayer or going to play, I always go to prayer. Amen. See, I'm very sensitive about this. God wants us to be that way. And I say again, when we lose, and this is my real thought, when we lose humility, sincerity, humbleness of mind, sensitivity, quietness, when we lose these things, we're losing that force and that power that makes us what we are. That makes us what we are. Now, there's a lot of people that go to church every Sunday. And there's a lot of people that preach the same thing we preach just about. They preach one church. They preach about filling the Holy Ghost. They preach divine healing. They preach some of them real strict on their dress codes and all those kind of things. But then you'll see something missing. You see something missing. We know a number of people that's very strict on their dress code, things like that. Oh, you get to know them. They got a love. Some of them got a love for money. They got a covetousness for money. They got a covetousness for more material things, more land. And you cross one of them, he'll get right back at you. Brother Charlie Williams lives out in Kingsport, Tennessee by himself, and he's a well-known man around there. And sometimes he goes around to the different places and see what's going on, some churches or something, another revival meeting or something. And he said, I met some of the finest people around there. And he said, you look at them and you listen at them and you hear them, and they just seem so sincere. They seem so believing what they got. But he said, I noticed one thing. When you cross one of them, he'll always fight you back. He'll always take his part. Something in there that'll rise up. We need that great force in our soul. Very sensitive about it. Very alert. I think that word alert included here somewhere. Being alert to what's going on around you. You and I shouldn't just sit down and hibernate ourselves somewhere or another and just not know what's going on around about us. We need to be alert to what's happening. There's snares and there's traps. And if I'm not very spiritual, the devil's going to have a trap set for me. He's got one set for me. I know he has. I pray every morning, Lord, hold my hand and guide my steps. I got a hold of that a couple of years ago. Hold my hand and guide my steps. I know there's a snare there for me somewhere or another. And I've learned that I need to be very cautious. And I've learned that it's never safe to go out and face the world without communing with God first. It's never safe to do that. You need to get in contact with the Lord before you go out on the job that morning. You need to get a hold of God before you go to school in the morning. And the monitors and the supervisors need to get a hold of God before they go in that classroom. Because those children are watching you. And the world's watching you. If you're claiming to live a holy life, that man works next to you. He's watching you too. He's watching. We need to be very sensitive about those things, that we don't bring a reproach on God's cause. May the Lord bless you this morning. I hope something's been said. As a brother said, something for everybody. But my real burden to boil it all down is that we don't lose that real spirituality. The real inner working power in our life. That thing that's motivating me. Oh, yes. I just don't believe that you can have a force as great as the Holy Ghost working in your heart and you not have a concern for other people. And you not have a love for God's cause and His truth. I believe that the Holy Ghost in our life will motivate us and prompt us to sacrifice ourselves for God's cause and for God's purpose. Something working inside. Something beyond the natural man. Natural man can't do these things. It has to be more than that. Let me encourage you this morning. Seek a closer walk with God. And if you've never been baptized to the Holy Ghost and with fire, seek for that too. Seek earnestly first that. Seek that first. And if you're not saved, you're living in a terrible world. You're living where the bars has been flowed down. It's all right now. It's all right now. It's all right now. What the world is eating, feasting on, the television, the literature, it can't get any lower. It don't seem like it, what it is now, from what I understand, from what little I've observed, what I've heard. So you're living in all of that. All of that. I heard a man on the radio, preacher, I don't know what kind of preacher he was, but he was about the strongest on television I ever heard. I thought we were strong. But he was bragging out, he said, if you was a man and you had a young, innocent daughter sitting there in your living room, you would not allow an old filthy-mouthed man to come in and sit down in your living room and talk like that before your little daughter. You would not allow that. You'd throw that old man out. Or you'd ask him to be quiet or leave or something. You wouldn't do that. But he was bringing out, when you bring that thing in, you're bringing it even worse than that. Foul language, murder, lust. All sorts. Let us be very sensitive. Oh, well, that's nothing wrong with that. My older sister says, since you're alone, what you ought to do is get you one of them little televisions, you know, just to entertain you. Said, you have something to put at your time in. I said, sis, I ain't got no time. I said, my time's running out, and I got a lot I want to do yet. I can't catch up. And I also told her, I don't want my conscience polluted. I don't want my conscience polluted. That's what I told her. I want to be able to think clean things. I want to be able to think on God. You can't watch that and do that too. Let's hold to what we've got. We've got it right. The old saints that passed this down to us, they had it right. They had it right. I can see them sitting around here, can't you? See old Brother Stover sitting here. Brother Gibson, Brother Adams, Sister Adams. The different ones, didn't you see them sitting around? And they were such a plain old folks. But they were so sensitive about things of God. I remember one time, right here, had a nice pot of flowers up there, and Brother Abbott, he come up and he smelled of it, and it was artificial. Didn't have no smell to it. Brother Abbott said, that's just like a lot of people. They got a pretty out thing, but there's nothing there, you know. He was very sensitive about that thing, you know. Very, very, very spiritual mind. Brother Gibson and Brother Murphy, I don't know, they used to stay in my home all the time when they come to bathe me. Got everything in the seat. There's something about God. tree standing out there, and they said, boy, that's like a tree planted by the water. You know, where's our mind this morning? Where's our mind? What are we thinking about? Where's our affections? Where's our mind? What are we spending our money for? Lord, help us this morning. See? When we look at it that way, it looks different, don't it? And I got a hold of that. I preached that those old folks back there, they were just so, they kept this, and they dressed just right, and they done this just right, and they done all the thing. And I thought, well, they're really working at their salvation. Yeah. Well, that's true in a sense, but then I got this other thought. They were doing that because of what they already had. There was something in there that was prompting them to live like that. Something in there that caused them to be careful, to be sensitive, to be humble. See, we don't dress like we do because we're trying to please somebody. We dress like that because we love the Lord. We don't just lay down and die with cancer because we simply want to particularly go. We don't do it for that way, but we love God, and we love His call, and we love His church, and we love Jesus. And we do it for Him. I'm going to say something here before I quit. If you're not doing it for Him, you won't last very long. If you're just trying to please a preacher, or trying to please somebody, or trying to get along and just kind of fit in, it won't ever be a success. I'm going to say something else. We like to preach a good and neat. I heard a Brother Abbott preach a message on tape just a while back on a strong message on hell. We need some of those messages. We need some messages on hell. But fear is the beginning of wisdom, fear of the Lord. But we need something even deeper than that. We've got to have this love that constrains us. We've got to have that constraining force in our life that constrains me. I don't feel like praying, but I go pray anyway. I don't feel like going to church, but I go anyway. I'm ashamed to witness for the Lord in public, but I witness anyway. Amen. See, there's something constraining me to do this. I may be shaking all over, and I may be stuttering, I may make a fool of myself, but there's something in there prompting me to do this. And that force in there is greater than being embarrassed. Amen? That force in there is greater than what people think and what people say, what my family says, what my children think. There's a force in here that's greater than that. It's that love of Christ that constrains. I just love Christ. And my love for Him is so deep. I don't say I, but I'm including all of us in this. We want it to be that way. So deep and so strong that it constrains. It's constrained. It oppresses our feelings and our behavior. May the Lord bless us this morning. I'd like to challenge you young folks, middle-aged folks. I don't know. I don't feel much older than I did 10, 15 years ago, but I know I am. But I'd like to encourage you and challenge you. Seek for a real spiritual walk. Spiritual mindedness, spiritual motivated. Walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Say, if we're of Him, we need to walk as He walked. Seek for the infilling of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, amen. Yes, Lord.
And even if you've got the Holy Ghost, you're just in a place to start growing in. You're just in the place. The Holy Ghost is what enables us to grow. Then we begin to dig into the Word. And then we begin to spend those times alone with God. Oh, I told a young man here last night, desiring to get closer to the Lord, I don't have any more better advice to give anybody. If you want to be more spiritual, you want to be more like Christ, you want to be able to be that example, you want to be able to be counted worthy, you want to be able to count it as one faithful, I don't know of a better thing to say than get alone with God. Amen. Alone with God.
Yeah.
This old busy, busy world we live in is a destined thing to spirituality.
Amen.
Young folks, learn to get alone with God. Learn to get along with God. You know, when you're alone with God. Then, you know, you come to the altar and that's good and that's where you need to come if you need help from the Lord. But there's talking and there's murmuring around. And that's all right. This all has its place. But oh, when I steal away with God.
Amen.
Steal away with God. Then ain't nobody there but you and God. And everything opens up then. You know, you can't hide nothing from God, you know. Ain't no use me telling the Lord what I am if I ain't. You know, God knows. And I know God knows. And so I can really get down and do business with God, Lord. Oh, wretched man that I am. Have mercy on me, Lord. I wouldn't want, maybe sometime we pray prayers to God, maybe we wouldn't want the public to hear sometime. Lord, have mercy on me, Lord. Lord, have mercy on me, Lord. Then you can commune God. And then after you've prayed through, what we used to call praying through, you know, that's praying until you're communicating with God. Driving down the freeway yesterday and seemed like things had not been going very good for a few days. Lord, where you at? I need you, Lord. Right now, I need you now, Lord. And oh, you know what happened? First thing I noticed, tears began welling up. And then tears running down. And then the next thing happened was I felt chills run over my body. Help us, Lord. And then God manifested himself to me and blessed my soul. Then the tears dried up and I was able to whistle on across the freeway, turnpike, alone with God. Oh, blessed retreat. There is a blessed pavilion. A sacred inner court with all the world shut out. Oh, blessed resting place. You folks may get tired of this thought, but I believe this is the message we need in this transition period, along with the other messages too, of course. But I'm especially concerned that you young folks and what I call the middle-aged folks, that we don't lose this. We don't lose this spiritual reality, spiritual relationship with God. I'm concerned that we don't fall into a form. And Brother Walls mentioned earlier how over there in Honduras, you can just hardly sit down on the porch without somebody stopping by and wanting to ask questions about the Bible. You go out and you have get a little group together and start singing and folks come in. Listen. You can just generate a service. One time when I was over last spring, we generated a service in about 30 minutes and the house was full and it's standing outside. Wasn't even announced. Hadn't even been get out. We just didn't have the place we supposed to have meeting. Mistake was made about the building and all. Went up the road about a half a mile and they let us use their building and went around there and talked it up for about 15 minutes, got in the little old church and started singing. And before the song service, half over the building was full. You know,